Welcome to this episode of The Source, Quill and Scrolls podcast. It's late March and we're still about 6 weeks away from the May 10th student deadline for scholarships for Quill and Scroll, but we're doing a series of interviews of former scholarship winners to give some insight into what it's like to be in Quill and Scroll and to win a scholarship. I'm Jeff Brown, I'm the Executive Director of Quill and Scroll, and welcome to The Source. Today with me, live via Zoom teleconference in the middle of the pandemic, is Barbara Tholen, who currently is the advisor and journalism teacher at Lawrence High School in Lawrence, Kansas, home of the University of Kansas and the Chesty Lions of Lawrence High. Welcome to the Quill and Scroll interview.
Thank you. Good to see you again, Jeff.
Good to see you. Yeah, we used to know each other. I used to be the executive director of the Kansas Scholastic Press Association when Barbara, I think, first started teaching.
I one of the first people I got to interact with when I started teaching. So yeah.
Super duper. We're both more younger and better looking than we were then. All right. So let's just go back to 1994 or five or whatever and tell us what you remember about your induction into Quill and Scroll.
I remember we used to have these like great guest speakers, and we would have a big Quill and Scroll event with all the Shawnee Mission schools together. And I remember it being an honor. I mean, enough that when I started teaching, I knew I wanted to make sure that, you know, we had a Quill and Scroll chapter at Lawrence High School, and that we were active in doing things. And just, you know, journalism overall is just, you know, was a part of my life. From when I started my sophomore year of high school is when I started doing journalism. And it's just always been really important to me. I got into it because my elder sister did it at her high school. It looked like fun. I think that was mainly the thing. It looked like it would be fun. And so I joined at Shawnee Mission North under Becky Lucas. Becky Tate now, and she's amazing. So just one of those people that really kind of changes your life.
Yeah, the Shawnee Mission District is still doing the mass induction ceremony, and it is one of the most important districts to Quill and Scroll today. So in 1996, then you were nominated for a Quill and Scroll scholarship, and obviously you won one. But tell me, unless you have it right in front of you that you can read, but what do you think Becky Lucas, now Becky Lucas Tate, wrote in her letter of recommendation about your work at North?
It was probably super nice and encouraging because that was like the type of person she was. And I feel like she wrote a lot of letters of recommendation for me, but I don't know. I mean, I think even back then, I'd forgot about this until I got older, but back then I was even thinking about becoming a journalism teacher someday, although I forgot about that for years and years until I started teaching again. I looked back at one of my high school resumes and it said that I was going to work in a newspaper and then become a high school journalism teacher. So I don't know.
I don't, because we're shut out of the office. And so right now I don't have access to any of that stuff, but I would love to go. I'll look it up when I let you know. But I guess the more direct question would be, is there something that a highlight of your journalistic work that you could tell other students about of what you did at North that you were most proud of?
You know, this is back in the days when we did a lot of like darkroom photography. And I think I was that kid who was just probably there a lot. I was either there or doing music stuff. But I think I was just there a lot. I wanted to, I spent a lot of time in the dark room developing photos. I spent a lot of time writing stories or rewriting stories. You know what she probably would have told you is that, I have this whole system I came up with about how to, but we were going to edit stories, and I had like little checklists for like little mini deadlines and stuff. And so that was kind of a big thing that that I know she loved, because I would just give her this checklist. This is who turned stuff in on time and who didn't. And she was like, great, I got something I can grade now.
So, yeah.
teacher, I can totally get why that would be really cool to have. So
yeah. So you obviously then to earn the scholarship at Quill & Scroll, we require that students at least pretend that they're going to major in journalism in school. But you actually did that a little bit west of suburban Kansas City.
I super wanted to. I mean, I went to K-State, and when I went there, I was kind of stuck between two ideas. I either wanted to study music or I wanted to study journalism. And I had actually had a scholarship for music that didn't require me to be a major, but I think I had one or two scholarships for journalism that did require me to be a journalism major. So I thought the world was trying to tell me something. So so I ended up studying journalism right, you know, when I got to K-State, and I joined the yearbook staff that first semester. And that was a big part of my life at K-State. And Linda Putney was a big part of my life at K-State. And Linda is, of course, a big part of why I, you know, became a journalism teacher. So I've been really lucky to run into these remarkable people who, you know, even years after I work with them, continue to be inspiring and mentors to me.
Cool. So from there, you've worked as a reporter before you got into teaching for the Kansas City Star and then the Topeka Capital Journal. Just tell us a little bit about how you got those jobs and some of the work that you did for those publications.
Being a reporter is a great job. So right out of college, I started at the Kansas City Star, and they had these like little, I mean, there was a little more money in journalism these days, but they had these smaller sections that covered the kind of suburban outlying areas in Kansas City. And so I started out covering like city council meetings and trying to figure out what that whole thing meant, and moved on to covering school districts. And when I left the Kansas City Star and I went to the Topeka Capital Journal, it was a little bit of a smaller place. And so it gave me a good opportunity, I think, I think I really thrived there because it was smaller, and I was able to cover a little bit of everything. I mean, I covered at different points the state legislature. I covered a lot of schools. I covered, you know, occasionally, you know, crime. And I think the day I got hired to be a teacher, I was at a murder scene that morning. And so I got a real wide variety of experience covering different stories. And I was lucky enough at the Capital Journal to have some really amazing editors who really like did a good job empowering the reporters to do good reporting. So that experience was, that experience of being a reporter really informs what I do and how we cover things on a daily basis. And, you know, sometimes when we're like right now we're covering this pandemic, and, you know, some of the things I'm talking to my students about are things that I learned covering tornadoes, back when I was a reporter, just that idea of working as a team to cover things and jumping on stories and bringing some enthusiasm to them, and, you know, just trying to pep them up with that idea of you know, keeping your community informed really matters. So those are all like experiences I took from being a reporter.
So since you brought that up, I was looking at the newspaper at Lawrence High School. It's called The Budget. And so I was looking at The Budget online today and noticing that you're...
Mysterious name, right? The Budget.
You know, well, it's a news name, right?
It's so. In the 1800s they came up with that. So. Yeah.
No, it's great. You know, it's the home of the Chesty Lions, so they have an equally...
pandemic we've covered, so there we go. That's how long we've been around.
There you go. So, but I was looking at The Budget online and noticing that you guys were posting stories pretty much every day. And so was it difficult to convince the students to do that? Or, you know, or is this just a culture at Lawrence High School where students said, you know, I know we're out of school. I know we're, you know, fearful for our own safety and our family safety, but we're going to press on as journalists anyway? Or did it take some convincing to do that?
I think it's a culture that I think that's the culture that we've built over the last, I don't know, 10 years. And I think because it's not just me, it's the editors that pass that along over the years. There are things that like we just know when they happen, we cover them. So, you know, if there's, and we've had this happen 3 times in the last year where we've had a gun show up at school. And those are stories that they know, like, that's an important story. We're going to write that story today. So when we got to this point where school was closing down, you know, my editors were right there, like, they'll be texting me, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to cover this? And they start the reporting you know, they will start the reporting even if I'm not like there to say, hey, you should do this. They're like, they just kind of know we should do it. There are other things that we talk to the whole staff about because it is harder to cover things when you can't leave your house. And so we had a big discussion. We've been doing Zoom meetings, and last week, before the governor had made her announcement about what was going to happen, we got the whole staff on a Zoom meeting, or about 40 kids, which is about 2/3 of the staff. That was pretty good. But we got them on the Zoom meeting. We talked about, you know, how we cover things and what that looks like, and that it might mean that we need to team report things. And so we use Slack. We've been kind of getting into that more this year. We hadn't really done that before, but thank goodness my online editor started pushing that this semester. So we talked to kids about what that would look like, and that it might be that there's a big news story that happens and we're going to need them all to like get quotes from their friends and put that out there. And then someone else will take the lead in writing that story. So a couple hours later, the governor was on TV announcing that schools were going to be closed for the rest of the year. And so my kids were devastated, because I have seniors who have lost so much and they're grieving, you know, a lot of lost opportunities in the end of their senior year. But they jumped into gear and they started contributing quotes, and we had a story up within an hour that was pretty well sourced and pretty well reported. And it's been going like that since then. We've thrown out different story ideas and the kids have been contributing team reporting. I'm working on a story about the fall play, or sorry, about the spring play, and you know, kids disappointed that's not going to happen. Who do you know in that? And so they're sharing resources, and they're making that reporting happen as a team. It's not happening by any one singular person's work. It's really a deep team effort.
So obviously you're very proud of what the students are doing now, but is there a particular package or reporting project that the students have taken on in your years at LHS that you're most proud of, or that's been most recognized by the rest of the journalism world?
There's a couple things. One of the things I think really set a high bar for our students. A few years ago, I had a girl who's, she's a journalism student at the university, at MU's journalism school right now. But she did a story that she looked into the presence of sex offenders and high schools, and that there's no requirement that schools are notified when they have students who are sex offenders in their buildings. So that can mean teachers can be taking kids on field trips, overnight trips without knowing. It was a very deeply sourced piece. It brought in a lot of ethical and difficult decisions that we had to make. That was a really good piece. Last year I had a student who wrote a really excellent piece about the school district seeming to not always meet its obligation to notify teachers when they have students who have a legal obligation to notify teachers when they have students with some kind of dicey criminal backgrounds. And I think that story really kind of changed the course of some teacher negotiations in our district. There was a story, you know, this year that I thought, you know, we've had some excellent stories over the last year just talking about guns in schools and what that means and why are we having kids bring guns to our school. We've had, you know, just like a good look at, like, we have a pool that's pretty crummy and kids were like coming out with like, you know, like this rash that they call the Carl Knox rash, because that's, it's just this, you know, just,
that's the name of the pool, right?
The name of the pool. So they, other swimmers, they call it the, and these are kids, they swim. We have lots of team swimmers, but in our pool, they come out with this just rashy skin, cause it's just, a tricky situation. And it was just that sort of deep news reporting, I think, is something my students have gotten really, really, really good at.
Cool. Well, we're running out of time, but I wanted to give you one last chance to say anything to the general Quill and Scroll audience, students or advisors who may be watching this, about the value of earning a scholarship or at least majoring in journalism in college.
I have loved every second of my career, from being a reporter to being a journalism teacher. And I'm deeply appreciative for that Quill and Scroll scholarship, because I still remember, you know, that feeling of getting that scholarship and what that meant for me and my ability to be able to go to the school I wanted to for my first year of college, because that was very much up in the air for me. So it was incredibly meaningful to me. So I think, you know, definitely apply for that. Cold Squirrel is a really meaningful group to be a part of as an advisor. I think for my students, when they graduate and they get to wear their Cold Squirrel cords at graduation and they get their pin, I think it's meaningful for them. And I'm a little sad I don't have we won't have our initiation at the time we normally like to. We'll still do it at some point here as soon as we can all get together again. But I think it has been a meaningful thing for us to have. And I hope lots of people apply. I know I'm encouraging my kids too, so.
It appears our 16 minutes are up. So I want to thank Barbara Tholen from Lawrence High School in Lawrence, Kansas, formerly of Shawnee Mission North High School in suburban Kansas City. This is Jeff Brown, again, the Executive Director for Quill and Scroll, and thank you for listening to The Source.